Now today, in our study of the Word of God, we are still in Revelation chapter 6. In our last study, we looked at the opening verses of chapter 6 that had to do with the opening of the first seal, introducing us to the rider on the white horse. Today in this study, I want to look at the second, third, and fourth seals. But perhaps we should read again from verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, behold, a white horse. He that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." There went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another. There was given unto him a great sword. When he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." When he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. We shall pause in our reading there. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, again we've been reading from thy wonderful word. We acknowledge it to be the inspired eternal truth. And so we do pray that by thy Holy Spirit, thou shalt enable each listener today to take in the words of truth and apply them to daily living. Help us to understand these things and to be ready for the great coming event of the return of the Lord. Take our thanks. Bless each listener now for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, in our last study, we reached the place where the Lamb was taking the book, the seven seal book, and he began to break the seals. We dealt at some length with the opening of the first seal, because this lays the foundation for what is said with regards to the other seals. Now, you'll notice, of course, that the first four seals, as they are broken, have something in common. That is, there are four different horses with four different riders on the horses. We pointed out that the first rider was on a white horse. He had a bow and a crown. He was a conqueror. He had everything, it would seem, under control. Over that man you could write conquest. I drew attention to the fact that in our day and generation, the world is looking for a man who has a peace program, where he could establish what men would call the basis for a permanent peace. But I also stress this fact: there cannot possibly be permanent peace in the world until the Prince of Peace is given his rightful place. The world rejected the Prince of Peace. They said, "We have no king but Caesar." And when they were asked, "What will you then and I do with Jesus, who is the King of the Jews?" they said, "Let him be crucified." So they crucified the Prince of Peace. Men have never had peace since then, and they never will have peace. An individual cannot have peace until that individual is right with God. I have quoted this verse over and over again in our broadcasts. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The individual sinner coming in true repentance to God can have that peace with God. Then after having the peace with God, he can enjoy the peace of God even in the midst of all the world's storms. But here in Revelation chapter 6, keep this in mind. This takes place after the church has been removed from the earth. In the world today, there is a hindering element. That hindering element is the true church. Remember, the true church is the salt of the earth. The true church is the light of the world. The light at times may be very dim, and the salt may appear to have lost its savour. But nevertheless, the church is still the salt of the earth and the light of the world. But remember, the day will come when the church with the indwelling spirit is removed. And he that hindereth will hinder until he is taken out of the way. Every believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But when the translation of the saints takes place, the church is removed and the Holy Spirit withdraws, then man is without restraint. It's at that time when the man will be able to go forth on the white horse, conquering and to conquer, and set up his own terms. And it would almost appear under that regime that man has achieved his great objective. He has established peace, but not so. When you come here, we find now that the second seal is opened. When he had opened the second seal, and this is the important thing with regards to the second seal. When he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." There went out another horse that was red. Power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another. There was given unto him a great sword. The man on the white horse had a bow, and he had a crown. But the man now on the red horse is carrying the great sword, the sword being indicative of war. The effort to bring universal peace apart from Christ will fail, and this failure will lead to strife, violence, and bloodshed, with class wars and race wars of a civil nature. My friend, we're living, as I have indicated already, in strange times. Now, the various coloured horses symbolise the different agencies employed in the execution of divine judgment. The living creatures and horses are only related to the first four seals. With the fifth seal, we pass from horses to heroes. With the fifth seal, the public intervention of God in the affairs of men becomes more marked. Thus, in the last three seals, we have the full expression of divine wrath upon a guilty world. A fourth feature of life is figuratively presented by the several colours of red, black, and pale. Red is a blood-like, fiery colour, symbolises strife, violence, anarchy, war, bloodshed. The devil, you know, is called the great red dragon. The devil has been a murderer from the beginning. And so red seems to be indicative of war and bloodshed. So as the white horse indicates bloodless victories, so the red horse brings in victories of blood. It is no longer a bow, but a sword. Now, all seemingly peaceful intentions are abandoned. Deception is past. The first man on the white horse was a deceiver. But I want you to remember this, in these coming days, the last days, it will be a matter of deceiving and being deceived. And here, when the second seal is broken, the man of sin stands revealed. The red horse rider with sword in his hand brings about unparalleled bloodshed. Peace vanishes, and sudden destruction comes upon the multitudes. They cannot escape the terrible carnage. You see, let me remind you of this. It is when they say peace and safety, then cometh sudden destruction. Men are saying peace today. In the Middle East today, if you walk the streets of Jerusalem, or if you went into a shop to buy something, they would almost greet you with the word shalom. And as you're leaving them, shalom, they're saying peace, peace. But my friend, it's when they are saying peace and safety, it's then that sudden destruction cometh on them. Do you realize this? That from the book of Daniel, we learn that the nation of Israel is going to enter into a covenant with the very man who shall prove to be their greatest enemy. They shall enter into a covenant with him, and then they'll be saying, peace, we've got it at last. But then it'll only take a few years, 3.5 at the most, when he shall break his covenant with them and let loose against them with an awful persecution. And so here it is, when the second seal is broken, we are introduced to a red horse. He has the power to take peace from the earth and launch the world again into a great war, to such an extent that many people will be slaughtered during that great time. For it says, he shall take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another. There was given unto him a great sword. Now remember this, I have indicated already, we are fast approaching a stage when people are ready for war. There may be, of course, underlying powers and circumstances leading up to this. But throughout the world today, there are class wars. This has been going on for a long time. The worker against the master, and so on. Class warfare. If it's not seen so much in the United States, it has been evident in other countries. Then there are race warfares. One race against the other. There's an antagonism. And then there are wars of a civil nature. Even nations divided internally. Political divisions. Ready to fight against one another. And so it is, this man will take mean advantage of all these ideas. He will have the authority or the power to take peace from the earth and launch the world again into a mighty conflict of bloodshed. But notice what follows that. There is the opening of the third seal. When he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. I beheld, and lo, a black horse. He that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, 3 measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Now it's very interesting to see then what happens when the third seal is broken. John then sees a black horse, and there's a rider on the black horse, but he doesn't have a crown on his head. And he doesn't have a bow, nor yet does he have a sword. He's carrying a balance. You see, here, under the third seal, with the black horse and his rider, the world is faced with famine. Wheat and barley, these are the necessary cereals for food, and they're being rationed out by weight at exorbitant prices, indicating that there is a scarcity to the extent of famine. Now, perhaps you don't realize this, but as we read the scripture, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. Now, remember, if you think that that is inexpensive, you've got to remember that when this was written, a penny was a day's wages. And so they're being called upon to pay a day's wages for a measure of wheat, and a day's wages for three measures of barley. Barley was the poor man's cereal. That was what the poor man used in his home, and the wife of the poor man had to make up barley loaves. And so we find that even the food of the poorest is being weighed out in a balance, being sold at exorbitant prices, all because there will be a famine. Now notice, the famine follows the war. That's usually what happens with war. Where men are engaged in conflict, then they're not able to raise the crops. There's a scarcity. And where there's a scarcity, they've got to be rationed out. And so here we find there's a famine under the third seal. Do you realize, my friend, that the world is rushing on to a time of famine? Perhaps you've never noticed it, but others are talking about it today, that unless something is done, this world is facing a great famine. But the men who tell us this don't come to the Word of God to see what's going to cause the greatest famine, and this is where the famine is going to come from, all because they have gone to war. Now, following that third seal, which leads to famine, we look at something else. There is the pale horse. When he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. Power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. Here under the fourth seal, John sees a pale horse with its rider, and over this you could write pestilence. Now watch the things that are all combined here. Here we have four sore plagues let loose together, which will account for the deaths of a great number, but it would appear limited in extent to a fourth part of the earth. There's the sword. We've already dealt with that under the second seal. Here again there's war, followed by famine, followed by pestilence, and then mention is made of the beasts of the field. A most interesting section, this, under the fourth seal. Now, might I say this, that even after the third seal, and there is the famine, and there's the rationing period, how men are going to be discontented again, and there will be further war. There will be fighting. We don't know exactly who will inaugurate that particular fight, but it's obvious that there's going to be more war. Because on the pale horse, the name of the rider is Death, and following him is hell. You see, death takes the body, but hell comes to claim the soul. Ah, my friend, some men could face death, but it's what comes after. Now, I notice that when we come to verse 8, about the middle of the verse, it says, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. It would be a very interesting thing if statistics could be found to tell us how many people have been killed with the sword during the 20th century. That is, how many people have died as a result of all the fightings and the wars. But all that will pale into insignificance as compared with what is outlined to us here in Revelation chapter 6. After there has been a short time of peace, then here is a man with the power to withdraw peace, take peace away from the earth, and introduce again a time of war. And then here, at the opening of the fourth seal, and the man riding on the pale horse, we're told his name is Death. Hell follows with him in order to convey the soul into a lost eternity. And power was given unto them. Here's a providential judgment to come upon those who have resisted and rejected the overtures of God's grace. They're going to kill one another with the sword, that is, with war. Following that, they're with hunger. There again you have pestilence and famine. And then with death. And then with the beasts of the earth. Now, let me say this, that some time ago I learned this, that certain beasts of the earth are capable of spreading an awful plague amongst human beings. Many of my listeners perhaps have read in their history books concerning the great plague of London. The great city of London had its plague. Oh, they couldn't have proper burials for the dead. They just brought out the dead when the bell ringer came round. The bodies were cast round. The bodies were cast into horse-drawn wagons, taken to burial. The great plague of London, followed by the great fire of London. One has said that the great fire of London was a blessing in disguise. It was a cure for the plague. But in reading concerning the great plague of London, it has been accepted that that plague was caused by a little animal, a beast, called the rat. And the rat was capable of spreading the black plague. Now, it has been found in other places as well. Where there is famine, you're scraping the bottom of the barrel. You're scraping up what is left of food. But also remember this, that is what the rat does. And the rat is capable of spreading this great disease, this disease they call the Black Plague. Here I find this providential judgment here, one thing linking into the other, like so many links in the chain. And so at this time, when the fourth seal is opened, and the rider comes out on the pale horse, his name is Death. He'll have no respect for human life, no respect for man, woman, or child, and hell follows after to claim the soul, and with the sword, that is with war, with famine, with hunger, with death, and with the beasts of the earth, over the fourth part of the earth, a great number of people shall meet their end. Oh, my friend, listen. These things are coming upon this earth after the church is removed. I have no time today for men who run around trying to tell Christians that we're going through the time of the tribulation. The tribulation will come upon this godless scene after the Lord Jesus Christ has taken his bride home to be forever with himself. After the church has been translated, then God is ready to judge this world, first with providential judgments, and then it will wind up when God will pour forth the judgments of wrath from the vials of wrath. In the meantime, we have tried to examine the opening of these seals with the four horsemen and the judgments that will come upon ungodly men for their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed.